Start video. Okay, that's okay, cool.
There he is. Hey.
Awesome. Hey, I'm sorry. I gotta like set up my phone. So, okay, I think that's cool, right?
Yeah.
Did you turn it so?
Apart from your side up.
Oh, hold on. One
There
second.
we go. Oh,
Oh, there we
that's
go.
better.
We're good. We're good.
Awesome. Hell
Nice
yeah.
Emperor t-shirt.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that's wicked.
Oh yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, no, I got to see them like a month ago, and that was awesome.
Oh,
Oh
sweet. Was that
yeah,
the
they're like,
Nightside Eclipse tour?
no, it was actually Anthems.
Anthem, sorry.
Oh,
Yeah,
yeah.
no, they played that in its full, and they played like four songs off Nightside, and like it was fucking awesome.
Oh,
Cool.
man. I'm seeing him in February, I think.
Yeah, next year sometime I'm seeing them as well.
Oh hell
Yeah.
yeah, that's awesome. They're incredible live. That was an insane experience.
I've never had the pleasure of seeing him, but I cannot wait.
Yeah, that was like their first time in Chicago in like 14 years or something like that. So like I was just like, I have to, like I can't miss my chance.
Is that where you're based, Chicago, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. And your surname, McHenry, what's the base, where's that rooted?
Irish.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I'm in Scotland and Joey's in Ireland, so we could have been
Oh,
either.
nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Anyway, sorry, yeah, I'm Joey, he's Benny. Thanks for your time, James.
Of course. Yeah, no, nice to meet y'all.
I need to give a quick shout out to Will Collins and from Prosthetic and give him a one of them because I promised him a little kiss on camera. He's wicked, Will. He's done so much like setting up this, so massive appreciation. But
Oh,
anyway,
yeah. No, yeah,
talk
Will's the
up.
best.
He really is. He really is. So let's talk Cybergrind. I mean, this is basically going to be not really an interview. It's just me and Venny going to be asking you questions about Cybergrind because we only got into Cybergrind via Thoughtcrime album last year. It came through from Will, and we both listened to it, and we were like, this is amazing. And it was one of those albums where it was like, we didn't know, or certainly for me, I didn't know why I liked it so much, but it was just so addictive. And Venny, I mean, you were the same, weren't
Yeah,
you?
it's the same. It was so eclectic, and I hadn't really heard anything like it before. So yeah, it was great. Loved it.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
James, I want to start with, which might be a fairly sort of obvious question, but I really need to understand how you got to Cybergrind. So what I'd like to know is, what bands did you grow up listening to at an early age to get you into metal? And then what bands did you listen to get to where you are today with the album Death Awaits, like?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the first metal song that I ever listened to was one by Metallica, because I used to play a lot of StarCraft back in the day, and like people would make their own custom maps, and one of the maps like that someone made like had the the part in one by Metallica where it was like dun, dun, dun,
Yeah.
you know, and like I'd never heard anything like that. I was just like, holy shit, this is heavy as hell. But like I had nothing else to like base that off of really. And then like when I was like 10 or 11, I got into like Dragon Force and like a bunch of like power metal, like Stratovarius and Sonata Arctica, and like Nightwish and shit like that. And then I want to say when I was 13, I started to get into like a lot more heavier stuff like Killswitch Engage, Trivium, who else? Like Shadows Fall and stuff like that. I was just really into that melodic metalcore stuff because like it was heavy, but also like had a lot of like kind of pop sensibilities and like it had choruses and stuff. So it was like a little bit easier to d digest than like just straight like grindcore and shit. And then around when I was like 14, I started getting into like Agoraphobic Nosebleed, Pig Destroyer, and just a bunch of more like obscure shit. Or like just like more like heavier, grindier shit. And that's around the same time I got into like Cybergrind myself. There was an upbringing of a bunch of like MySpace artists like around 2016, 2006 to 2009. And like, I kind of caught the tail end of that. A lot of artists such as Cutting Pink with Knives. Who else? Bubblegum Octopus was a huge one. Also like The Berserker, I was really into. And like just a bunch of other bands like that. So, I mean, that was like kind of my introduction to Cybergrind and Nintendo Core and all that kind of stuff. And I remember like catching the tail end of it. So like I caught like a lot of like the kind of like the classics, but then like there's just nothing else made past that point that was like really clicked with me. Although there was like sort of a smaller community that was being that was happening on Facebook like around 2010 to 2012. And that's around the same time I started Blind Equation in 2012. So basically kind of Blind Equation started off the basis of like influence from like power metal to, you know, early Cybergrind, like The Berserker and Agoraphobe Nosebleed, and a lot of the like more MySpacey Nintendo Corey shit like Bubblegum Octopus and Cutting Pink of Knives. So I think that built the foundation. And since then, I've gotten a lot of influence. Deathwish is very influenced by just a lot of pop music and also like SoundCloud rap that I've been listening to lately, and just trying to like channel that into like a context that I feel like that has not been brought to before. So yeah.
There's so many things you've said there that are just like Nintendo Core, for example. Benny, Nintendo Core, ever heard of that?
I have heard of it, but I wouldn't know any particular artists or much in detail about it. But I think the name fits on the bill.
I think there's this is their first TV appearance.
Oh, nice. Hi, nice to meet you.
Say hello. No? Okay.
No.
Very professional outfit we run here, James.
Nice.
Yeah, Nintendo Core, I assume, is like that more electronic 8-bit sound that you hear on Cybergrind. Is that right in saying that?
Yeah, I mean, it's not actually a real genre, but like... But it kind of is too. It just like helps to kind of describe it better. It was started by Horse the Band, like when, because like they just kind of make sort of like art metal with like chiptune, and someone asked them what their genre was, and they just kind of jokingly said Nintendo Core. And then like a lot of artists that were inspired by them like started to kind of take that a little bit, not seriously, but like just like try to, you know, actually make like just like metalcore with like more of a chiptune emphasis. Although I feel like a lot of Nintendo Core is really just like metalcore, but with chiptune layered over it. But however, there's other like Nintendo Core artists for, I feel like they kind of like have a more heavy emphasis on the chiptune melodies and kind of making like sort of like a video game soundtrack sound like a metalcore song rather than a metalcore song sound like a video game soundtrack, if that makes sense. I don't know.
Yeah. And the other thing, band you mentioned there, is The Berserker. And when I interviewed Malady from Thought Crime, because I was trying to get my mind to where it sort of fit, and she mentioned The Berserker, and it sort of became very clear then, because Cybergrind is so jarring in a sense, that it made obvious sense that Berserker. But at the same time, I still can't see a clear connection with The Berserker because they're so intense.
Oh, yeah. And plus The Berserker, I feel like they're a lot more like breakcore gabber like influence, and also just like very like more. And also there's a lot more like death metal sort of influence present in their music, as opposed to like a lot of Cybergrind artists now, with the exception of like Ozzy Jiri and a couple others. But yeah, because I feel like a lot of the modern Cybergrind artists now are a lot more melodic, myself included, obviously. I feel like definitely just like the intensity of The Berserker is very influential to myself, at least. But yeah,
I find it funny how you said you find yourself melodic yet when I listen to the new album Death Awaits, I can see what you mean with the melodies in the background, but it's still very intense, isn't it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like just like yeah, just like mixing the fucking like melodic and like kind of like sadness with the music as well, mixed with like the intense like blast beats and just like kind of all over the place and like just 16th and 32nd note like synths just blaring over all over the place. Yeah, it's just kind of like a juxtaposition of sorts, and I just feel like that's the way I like to write.
Juxtaposition, exactly. Vinny, go on.
In terms of, you mentioned that intensity, Death Awaits about 29 minutes. And similarly, the last Thoughtcrime album that we loved was a similar length. Do you think the listener has some kind of limitation on what they can absorb? And does that naturally mean that the runtimes are in that ballpark?
Oh, absolutely. And also, I feel like my ability to write so many notes is only, you know, I can only do so much. But it's funny because like this record is actually me kind of like taking things a little bit longer than prior, because my last album was like 13 songs, but 21 minutes. And then the EP before that was literally a 6 minute EP. And then every release prior to that did not go over 10 minutes.
So this is like your proggy double album.
Yeah, this is the prog album of Blind Equation. And yet it's not even 30 minutes. But yeah, no, yeah, because for this album, there's a lot more like repeating choruses and more like traditional song structure-y stuff going on, but still chaotic. I think I kind of like this album's like pretty tame. To me, at least, but it's still like all over the place and heavy, and yeah.
I still find it so funny how you say it's tame. I mean, like we, to be honest, we only have one album to compare it to in Thoughtcrime, Vinny. So, I'll ask Vinny a question. Sorry, James, for May, but do you see that like this being tamer than the Thoughtcrime album?
I do. I mean, I do. I think Death of the Waits is a bit more of a cohesive journey, if that makes sense. And I like both. I did love the fact that the Thoughtcrime album was so eclectic and bringing so many different things in. But what it feels with Death of the Waits is it does feel like its own entity, and there is some strand that kind of runs through the whole album. To me, I don't know what you'd respond to that, James.
Yeah, no, I agree. I try to like make my albums like pretty cohesive, because I think, I don't know, I'm a very album person. Like I listen to full albums all the time, so I definitely put that in mind when I write, and I definitely want like some consistency going through the tracks. Well, like for this album, I definitely like still brought like some sounds that were like unique to each song, and like maybe some synths that might have been only used for like one part of this song, but like not and you've seen anywhere else on the rest of the album. But like I definitely see it as a cohesive journey, and then like I do think about like where the songs are placed and like how they work with each other, and like kind of like having the album sort of be like a journey of sorts, like still chaotic, but like a smooth chaos, if that makes sense. I don't know.
Yeah, sort of. And you am I right in saying you mixed and mastered the album yourself for CD?
I mixed, wrote, produced the album. And then, like, for vinyl, I just had my friend master it, because mastering for vinyl is different, and I don't know how to do that. So, but yeah.
And can I ask, so you're obviously on Prosthetic Records now, which is a label of loads of great artists coming out. Thoughtcrime, another one of being on there. But when you get signed to Prosthetic, obviously a major label like that, why did you still choose to do it yourself? Are you a perfectionist, or are you just one of these? Because Cyberground is quite a DIY genre, isn't it? You do hear a lot of people producing themselves and mastering themselves. So why did you not maybe turn to Prosthetic and say, I'd like this person to produce it or master it, whatever reason?
I just feel like, one, I'm like a control freak kind of.
Okay, right. That is it.
Yeah, I mean, that's why, like, for this project, like, even though, like, we do perform, like, live with other members, I still kind of want to just, like, write everything and kind of, like, control the vision. I don't know, just because, like, also I just think about, like, my past releases and kind of, like, the back catalog. And, like, I think a lot about, like, how each album works with each other and, like, sort of, like, the timeline of the project as well, and how it progresses. And I also kind of see this project as sort of like a way to document my own like personal growth as an artist too. And I feel like the best way to do that is to produce it myself, for the time being, until I feel like there's something that I want to achieve that I can't do myself. But right now I just feel like Blight Equation has a very specific method that I used to like write the music, and also like sort of like a formula, but you know, I alter that formula from release to release. Like there's just so many specific things to Blind Equation to where right now it does not make any sense for me to like have someone else mix it. Also because like on this album, like I have like maybe like 130 different tracks on the project. And like there's like I want to say like 50 or 60 different synths used throughout the album, and like sending that to somebody else to mix and saying, hey, I want this melody and this song to shine out here, but you can bury this melody, and like explaining it all is like way too much. And like also, with this being a project with like no guitars or anything, like I just feel like it's like an overwhelming undertaking for someone who's not me to like mix and master it and have it sound the way that I want it to. So even though I'm not like perfect at like producing and mixing, I just feel like it just makes the most sense for this project. And I got this album to sound the way that I wanted it to. So yeah, and so far I've been really happy with the production on all of my albums. Like there's not been an album where I'm just like, well, oh, I lie. Like the like shit I made when I was like 17, maybe, but like, yeah.
But I mean, you obviously you're learning, and like you said, I mean, there's so much complexity going on, like with all the sensing going on that I think, would I be right in saying if you gave this to a producer in, let's just say for argument's sake, Slayer's producer, let's just throw it out there, is a lot different producing that to a cyber, someone who knows Cyberguide?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, like, maybe, like, I'm sure, like, someone else could, like, do a great job on it. And, like, but also, like, cost money. And, like, also, like, what was I gonna say? I'm a control freak, too. So, yeah, it is what it is.
And how has it been working with Prosthetic Records?
I'm sorry, what was the question again? Sorry.
How has it been working with Prosthetic Records?
Oh, it's been amazing. I've been really enjoying working with them. I Will, Steve, Becky, everyone's been like super like they've just been like super supportive and like super down with like all the ideas that I have for the project. And also just very helpful. Like there's a lot of like when I was like prepping the release for the last album, like I was not playing as many shows, so like I had a lot more time to like ship out vinyl and like get that all that order. But like I remember even then, like it was so stressful, and like I was like, I do not want to do this ever again. And then thankfully, Prosthetic hit me up, and I was just like, hell yeah, I don't have to worry about that. But yeah, no, it's been like super helpful, super awesome to work with. It's something that like is very new to me, but I like it. It's been really cool. They're a good label. I like them.
Is that Becky Laverty you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, we met her at Arctangent 2 weekends ago.
Oh, hell
Lovely.
yeah.
So nice.
Yeah. No, they're all awesome. Hell yeah.
Can I ask a quick question, James, if I may? So there's a couple of guest slots on the album. Again, with our very limited knowledge of Cybergrind as a genre, we noted from the Thought Crime album, there are guest slots on that. It seems like a very tight community. Is that part and parcel of it, that there are, within that small community, there are guest slots on each other's albums and that kind of thing?
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like a lot of Cybergrind artists like to feature and collab with other artists. It's a very collaborative community. Like, we all play shows together. We all hang out with each other. And yeah, it's a really nice, like, sort of tight-knit community right now. Yeah, for my features, Death Trippa, he's like been a good friend of mine from New Zealand. We've been like kind of like video chatting, like hanging out like virtually for a while. And also I just like really like his music, and I was able to bring him out on tour with us couple like last month, and that was like a really good time. But yeah, and then Ratchasu, she was like not really familiar with any of the Cybergrind stuff. I was just like a fan of her. And like I reached out to her, and like she was really down with the song, and yeah, I was able to do a feature. Then she actually asked me to like produce a song for her too. So like, and now like I think Nick from the Big Money Cybergrind label is like doing tapes for her as well. So it's like cool, like kind of like bringing her into the community as well. There's a couple of people that I've kind of brought into the community just because I discovered their music, really liked it, and kind of show it to all my other friends in the Cybergrind community, and it's really cool. Yeah, there's a lot of really cool people making really cool music right now.
Yeah, because actually we also interviewed Pupil Slicer at Arctangent, and of course Katie played on, oh, I can't remember the name of the song, but we sort of said, oh, at the end of the interview, how did you find that? She was like, it was great because I just got free reign to do whatever I want. And that's pretty much sums up, like, or for me, from the outside looking in, what Cybergrind's about, it is just sort of free expression. Just do whatever you want. Like, as long as you're not offending anyone, just free reign.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. That's like, you best described it. And that's how I kind of view this project as well. And especially this album, because there's so many things that I wanted to do that I've never done before with Blind Equation. Like, you know, adding like pop courses and like 808s and like the fucking, like, you know, the dancey like Euro beat stuff, yeah, and just adding that on like a Cybergrind release through like a metal label, like, and yeah, I mean, there's just like no rules, like just like kind of just breaking the boundaries of metal and everything that like people expect from a metal release, is kind of like shattering those expectations. And that's been something that I've been trying to do as of late, and I know a lot of other artists are doing at the moment, and it's really cool.
I think actually when you said that about the Europop things, I think that's what appeals most to me from this. Like, if any and I grew up you know, listening to Slayer, Pantera, Slipknot, etc., and it's sort of one channel, but to then throw on like Europop and the single Never Getting Better, for me, like, that melody on it, even though it's so heavy on the vocals at the start and the drums, like, it really, it's really hard to explain without, if you haven't heard it.
Yeah, exactly. No, thank you.
Sorry, go on.
No, you go on. I wasn't going to say anything.
Do you think in the future you would be looking to add like guitars onto any of your albums, or do you think you're a control freak, one, and set in your ways?
Yes. yeah, for me, I just feel like I've gone this far without any guitars, and I feel like the second I add guitars, I like sort of limit the possibilities of Blind Equation, because I feel like one of the largest like sort of like ethos of Blind Equation right now is like just writing shit that's impossible to play but also like writing music that I'm not thinking about, like, how am I going to play this live, but just writing music because it sounds good. And then figuring out how we play it live with a full band later. And so far, I mean, we've sounded good live. And I feel like we've also been able to recontextualize like the drums or like some of the key melodies to make it work live. And that in itself kind of brings new life to the song, because when you hear it live, like maybe the drums might be slowed down in this part, but it's more danceable and like kind of gives it more of a sort of like, I want to say like hardcore context. And I think it's really cool. Like people like go up to me like after our sets to say, hey, like I didn't realize like this song was this heavy, you know, but it's just because like we kind of slowed down the drums, and like also just having like live drums, yeah, in general live, just like it's cool. Yeah.
So a maybe for guitars in the future.
Maybe if I feel like it needs it, but I don't think it would be a thing where like I have guitars the entire album.
Yeah.
But maybe. I mean, I'm already like kind of like thinking about like drastically changing my sound for the next album, but also I might not do that. I'm still at crossroads here, but we will see.
It's so cryptic.
I know. I mean, I've only written like 3 songs, so and they've all sound completely different from each other. So it's gonna go in one of those 3 routes, or maybe all 3. I don't know.
And just on the new album itself, it's not out till the 15th, which is like what, 2 weeks away? 2 weeks away?
2 weeks, yeah.
Do you have any specific songs that you really love that are potentially, you know, emotional attachment to yourself that you can't wait for everyone to hear?
Yeah. Let me think. I really like all the singles. Obviously, Killing Me is a really, like, I really like that song also because, like, I feel like the Rat Chester feature, like, adds so much to that song. And it was just also really cool working with her because, like, I was just, like, a huge fan of her last release. And when I was writing that song, the part, like, that she's featured on, like, I was kind of like, oh, this is sort of like a Rat Chester part. Then I tried like adding my own vocals to it, and then like I just couldn't really like make it work. So I just was just like, I'll just hit up Rat Chester to do a feature on this. And then she was down, and then it ended up working out like perfectly. Like I was just like Rat Chester needs to feature on this song. And yeah, it just like yeah, that song, like I feel like it's just like everything that I wanted the future of Blind Equation to be. And that song, Warmth, I really like that song. I think that's my favorite off the album though. And also it's just like the most like vulnerable song on the album as well, lyrically. And also it was like one of the last songs that I wrote. So I feel like I'd already written the other like 8 songs, because like I hadn't written the last song yet, and like I knew like what the rest of the album sounded like, so I could like sort of like mix everything that I'd done previous on the album into the one song. So I feel like Warmth is like the culmination of the rest of the album. And I also just think like the slowdown part is really cool, and like when I come up with stuff like that, I'm just like, hell yeah, that's like, good job, James. You came up with a cool part, you know. And yeah.
Was Choke a single? Is it Choke? Is it song Choke?
Oh no,
that wasn't a single.
I know. Oh. It was you betrayed the ones you loved. Never getting better, better and Killing Me. Yeah.
I think Choke is my favorite song on the album.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's just before Never Getting Better, isn't it? The one before.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I really like that song.
That is very interesting to hear, because that's my least favorite song.
Oh, really?
I like that song a lot. I think I was kind of spitting on that song. But that's, like, the song that, like, That's very interesting to hear. Like, I also like hear a lot of bands say, like, oh yeah, this song like was a filler song and ended up becoming our like most popular. That's really interesting to hear. That's like a song that like if we were to like continue playing live, like we just wouldn't play that song off the album live, but maybe we will. I don't know. That's
Well,
really
that's it.
interesting to hear.
I'm not
Thanks.
coming to see. I'm not coming to see Blind Equation live then. If that's the way it is.
Right. Fair enough. No, it's interesting to hear. Hell yeah. Thank you for telling me that.
No worries. Benny, I've just got one more question before we wrap up. That's for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
James, that I'm really interested, like I said, where this cybergrind is fascinating, this genre. Where do you think it'll be in like 5, 10 years' time? Do you still think it'll be as part of the underground scene, or can you see it blossoming into, I mean, not necessarily headlining festivals, but do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's hard to say because this is like sort of like the third or fourth wave of cybergrind in a way, because and also I feel like it's the farthest that it's gone so far. Because I mean, like you have like the first wave of like kind of like proto cybergrind bands, you know, like Gorefolk Nosebleed, Plaguebringer, shit like that, and then like the sort of MySpace cybergrind, like Cutting People with Knives, like We Came with Broken Teeth, shit like that. Then there was like sort of like the MySpace, no, it's Facebook era, like with A Beautiful Lotus. Who else? James Doesn't Exist. Like sort of smaller, like super underground, like Facebook artists, and like that's kind of like the scene that I kind of like. That scene kind of inspired me to start Blind Equation. And then like as soon as I started Blind Equation, like it's completely died down until like really like 2020. So like there's just a long gap of like no one really like caring about Cybergrind. I mean, there's like small communities here and there, but like nothing like it is right now. And so far it's like I've felt like I don't know, like since from 2020 to 2023, I kind of like knew that it was gonna be growing, but like I was just kind of like it could like die off any second now, you know, because like it's still so small, it's still so niche, but right now it's gotten way bigger than I ever thought it would, which is really cool. I feel like it'll always like have sort of an underground DIY ethos because a lot of like myself, Thoughtcrime, Bajalvin, like we all like have an understanding of like DIY music. Like we all go to like hardcore shows and like DIY shows. I used to book shows and stuff like that. So I don't think it'll ever like really like lose its roots. But I can definitely see it like becoming like sort of a bigger thing to where like if we, you know, like we were able to like get to next level, like we can like help small artists like kind of get to where we are now and shit like that. So I don't think it'll like get out of control where like Warner Brothers will sign a Cybergrind band or some shit like that. But like I still think it'll be like sort of larger DIY thing if it were to get big, but like nothing like out of the con like nothing to where like we have to sacrifice why we did it in the first place, I feel, if that makes sense.
Yeah, perfect sense. Benny, unless you have anything else to ask, I'm going to say James McHenry from Blind Equation, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks very
Much
much, man.
appreciated.
Thank you so much for having me. This is awesome.
The album Death Awaits is out on the 15th of September, and we wish you every success with that. And if you do put Choke into the set list, I'll see you at a show. If not, we probably won't meet. But James, thanks so much for your time, man.
Cheers,
Thank
man.
you. I r really appreciate it. And if you're watching this, I think December 16th we'll have a release show in somewhere in Chicago. We will be playing Choke because we'll be playing the entire album front to back. But
Oh.
that might be your only chance.
Book those plane tickets, Jerry.
Venny, can I put the plane tickets through the expense account to go to Chicago?
Might not quite stretch that far, but yeah.
We'll talk about this offline.
All right, sounds good.
Thanks, James.
All right, thank you. All the thank best you for having me.
Cheers.
Likewise. Cheers.
Bye.
Hell yeah.